So close, yet so, so far away. Browns, on a weird Monday night, 5 p.m. football game, suffered a gut-wrenching, devastating, I don't even know, any word you want to describe or words you want to describe it, that's what happened tonight. The Browns just lost to the Raiders, 16-14. In Cleveland, their playoff hopes are dwindling. And here we are, Josh and Joe. I'm Josh Paloha, your host, as usual. Joe Gilbert joining me, as usual. We're live to talk Browns Raiders. I promise I'll try to be positive tonight. But we are live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. And this podcast, I promise, I forgot to say this last time. This podcast is brought to you by the Evergreen Podcast Network. And Joe, I don't even know what to say because I feel like as a Browns fan, you don't want to get your hopes up high because there's a good chance that you'll only be let down. I, for the first time in weeks, was like, oh, wow, the Browns are going to pull out this win with 13 starters out. And then that field goal happens. And I was like, damn, they just lost another heartbreaking game again. So first thoughts, go.
Yeah, it was disappointing. I came into the game having no expectations, so it was a crushing one, but not one that like I'll kind of steam over for a couple days. But it's just disappointing because they had it, man, and they played their ass off. The guys that were on that field, they played their ass off and just came up short. They came up 2 points short, and boy, I would love to have that missed field goal back.
Man, there are so many shirts that can be made about what you just said. They came up just short. Boy, I would love to have that missed field goal back.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Man, we're not waiting for nextyear.com anymore. They came up just short.com. But seriously, I mean, I was the same as you. I had no expectations. Even if they had a full team tonight, I still wouldn't have. I mean, it's the Browns. Mm-hmm. But with 13 guys out, I was like, all right. I mean, even Craig said that in the Discord. He was like, whatever happens tonight, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But then as the game slowly went on, especially in the third quarter, they slowly got me
slowly
hooked.
Slowly got you hooked.
and I was hooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they let me down.
I thought we had it when we intercepted Derek Carr in, but couldn't put it away, couldn't get that first down. I thought they could have passed. They should have passed on third down, but I understand why they ran it. You had Mullins as their quarterback. They didn't want to put it in his hands. I understand it, but kind of wish they would have passed it, but we kind of have to live with it because of where they were put into. They had so many injuries.
Yeah, that's a tough spot because, like,
yeah,
obviously we can Monday morning quarterback it all the time now. Mm-hmm. Now that it happened, we saw what happened. It's easy to say now, hey, they should have passed it one of those downs. But when you have Nick Chubb, especially with how well he was running in the fourth quarter, when you have Nick Chubb and a third-string practice squad quarterback that only had one practice in your system all season, who are you going to count on? I mean, the worst thing that happens with Nick Chubb is that you take the ball down to the 2-minute warning and mm-hmm. you make the Raiders go like 50 yards. Mm-hmm. And that was like the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario turned out to be literally the worst case scenario where the Raiders took the ball down 50 yards in like a minute and 50 seconds and they kicked a field goal. I mean, like I said, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback it now, but I think, especially with Van Pelt calling the plays, who we all know he hasn't called plays since the Browns beat the Steelers in the playoffs last year.
Yep.
I feel like he's not going to take any chances, especially with how well the defense played. I mean, the defense clearly, we can get into this too. The defense was clearly tired. They had barely any backups. The starters were in basically all game. So the defense was not only depleted, but they were tired. But the Browns defense played really well for the 58 minutes tonight.
Yeah. We saw another great performance from them. They stepped up. They kept this team in it for pretty much the entire game. just couldn't get that one last stop, and it's going to be tough. It wasn't great that we also had, obviously, as you said, they were tired, but Myles Garrett was hobbled, and he didn't look good after that injury. So, yeah, it was a rough spot for him, but you just wish you could have got one more stop, and that would have got the W. But the biggest culprit, I have to say, is the kicker. We win if Chase makes that field goal, but we didn't.
Remember in like the first 6 weeks of the season where we thought the Browns didn't have a kicking problem? Yeah. And then the reality had to hit us, and we realized that we're the Cleveland Browns and we had to have a kicker problem.
Yes. Yep. Can't go out without a season of a kicking problem. So, yeah. So put that on the list of things to do this offseason, amongst other things. Find a kicker that actually can kick throughout the whole entire season rather than the first 7 games.
Every offseason since 1999, that's always one of the bullet points. Find a kicker. But seriously, yeah, well, I know I threw this out. He's starting. Okay, post Phil Dawson. My bad. Post Phil Dawson. I'm sorry. He's Chase McLaughlin. How are we, out of all the things, we're going to start kicker first, I guess, because he did lose the Browns the game, potentially.
He did.
He started 10 for 10 this season. Since starting 10 for 10, he's drawn 5 for 11.
Oof. Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason. I know I tweeted this out. There's a reason he joined the NFL in 2019, 2 years ago. This is his third season in the NFL. The Browns are his sixth team.
There's also, I think
there's a reason for that.
And there's also a reason why the Browns, I don't know if you guys pay attention to the practice squad when they when they announce who they're going to protect. Every week, there's the kicker. The kicker is protected every single week. So I think the Browns had the same thought that this could not be a not become true that he's the kicker of the future. And I think they kind of ran its course right now. And I don't know. I just don't know if he can we'll see him next year, but it just sucks that it fell into his hands and he couldn't produce. It was a makeable kick. I think the weather was pretty great for a December game in Cleveland. It was really good conditions. And
hey, before you go, we're not blaming the weather when the Las Vegas Raiders kicker can make not one but two 48 yarders. So even if the weather was bad, if Las Vegas's kicker, who's used to a dome, can do it,
right?
Chase McLaughlin should be able to do it, who practices in this weather 7 days or 5 days a week.
Yep. So yeah, it's a tough one. I just hate when we lose because of a kicker. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, everyone can say like, well, yeah, then the Raiders would have went for a touchdown, but that final drive plays out completely different if the Browns are up 4. Completely different.
Oh, yeah. Because, the defense plays differently. Yeah. Because you got to protect, 70 yards or whatever instead of, 40 yards for the field goal. So, yeah, it changes the whole dynamic. But so we go.
I hate being a fan of this team. I hate it, but I love it. I feel like that's like a perfect Cleveland fan, like a Cleveland fan saying, you hate it, but you love it. Because there's a reason we always come back.
Yep, there is. Still love this team, man.
Damn it. Why do I have to be born in Northeast Ohio is a real question.
Because you're a Cavs fan now, man. Cavs.
Come on, Cavs. Oh, well, that's not even getting into the freaking Cavs either.
Hey, they're back on Wednesday.
True.
Cross my fingers.
All right, so we talked about kicker and special teams. I say let's go to the offense first. Nick Mullins. The Nick Mullins.
Played better than I thought. Better than I expected.
He played would be a good first half description for him.
Yeah.
But in the second half, I mean, let's see what his – I'm going to look up his stats right now. He finished 20 for 30, 147 yards, one touchdown. Obviously, everyone's going to be like, wow, that's eh. But – remember, he was a practice squad quarterback. He practiced in this system one practice this season. It was this week.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, that's a good point. In the system.
Yeah, and Stefanski wasn't around all week. It was Van Pelt. And Van Pelt, I was going to say Scott Van Pelt. I wish it was Scott Van Pelt. But he was following the plays. So, like, the playbook had to be so vanilla.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, go deep. But who are you going to go deep with? DPJ, I guess you can call DPJ a deep threat. But as we, me and Joe discussed last week, when David Njoku, your second best tight end, okay, actually, no. Your best tight end, but second on the depth chart tight end, is your arguably your biggest deep threat. You don't have a deep threat. No. So when you have Nick Mullins playing a vanilla quarterback and no deep threat, and you're without two linemen on offense, there's only so much the offense can do. And they, yes, they only scored 14 points tonight. They should have scored 17. But they did what they had to do to win the game.
Yeah, Mullen, that's exactly what he did in the second half. He made the big plays. He really did. That touchdown in the final drive where he scrambled and on the fourth down and found Harrison.
That is a perfect segue to my next thing.
Yeah,
and from our guy that always Ed Hodler, Chef Ed. When was the last time a Browns quarterback won through a fourth quarter touchdown, and two, through a fourth quarter go ahead touchdown late in the game? I couldn't tell you.
I have no idea.
Seriously, it seems like it's been years.
It does seem like that.
Because yeah, it didn't happen this year because Baker's like 0-3 on doing that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Nick Mullins did what he had to do to win the game. And yeah. I mean, that's all you can say when it's a third string quarterback that was thrown in the fire, literally.
Yeah.
That's all you can count. I mean, you can't count on him, but he did what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And like we said previously, yes, maybe they should have went for with a pass on that final drive to wait to try to get the first down. But when you have Nick Chubb, I feel like you're just going to keep it in Nick Chubb's hands and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
So we talk about Nick Chubb. We talk about Nick Mullins. Wide receivers. DPJ had a few big-time drops, especially that long deep ball down the right sideline. I don't know why. I mean, yes, the receiver got the ball, but or the cornerback hit the ball, but if you're a good receiver, you catch that ball.
Right. It was like a game of two halves for most of the offense, really. Mullins didn't kind of struggle in the first half. The offensive line struggled running the ball in the first half. Chubb struggled. The receiver struggled. But then DPJ kind of stepped up in the second half, made some huge catches, especially on that final drive. He keeps showing these bursts of great play that just show you he could be something next year when. And hopefully if the Browns get somebody else to be the number one, I feel like he can be a perfect number two. But yeah, he played a game of two halves, and the second half was much better and made some big plays and kept them in the game. And I wish he was more consistent this year, but he's still very, very young, especially at the position and after the debacle he had at Michigan, where I don't know what they taught him.
But, we don't say that word around here.
Sorry, U of M. I don't know.
That team up north.
The Wolverines.
No, yeah, but you're right. Yeah. I mean, him and Njoku have a lot alike, and that their potential is really good, but they always seem to like just have like these dumb drops. Although Njoku hasn't really had any dumb drops.
Yeah, no, not lately.
But like, it's always like, how do you drop that? And he's a second year running right here, so I'm certainly not that mad. It is what it is. Like me and Joe discussed last week as well, these receivers are playing out of their role. Out of their role. Like everyone has moved up the depth chart when they should be down a little bit. That makes sense. So I mean, it is, and maybe that'll help his development. I don't know. Maybe. it will slow down his development because he's losing some confidence. But then that catch in the fourth quarter, I mean, his confidence is obviously there because he snagged that out of the freaking clouds.
He did, yeah. That talking about David Njoku, he had a really good game. I thought he had a really good game. He just keeps cementing that he should be the future of the tight end position for the Browns. I hope they extend him this offseason. He's just a big time player, and hopefully when he gets a quarterback that actually can accurately get the ball to
him. Wow. You've now thrown a dig at Jarvis with your DPJ is going to be the number two receiver next year, and now Baker. Damn.
I'm here for it.
but speaking of, I mean, we can get into this later on. We're not talking about the offseason much, I promise. Is Alex Hooper's dead money zero
I think it's this year. I think it's a variable, it's a very cuttable contract.
Interesting. This year, so. Very, very interesting.
I know.
We will talk about that in the offseason, but just always remember that. Don't be surprised if it's David Njoku and Harrison Bryant 1 and 2 next year.
And it was nice to have Harrison Bryant back too. He played solidly. Without him, there was just nobody last week.
And Joe just created his own word with solidly.
Solidly. Oh, I love solidly.
Solidly. I had, as the editor at Wave Production Now, I just had to send that little dig. And just to bring some fun. I mean, I just can't believe the Browns literally find any and all ways to lose.
I have to say, it was a bit of a fun game. Like, besides obviously the end, but like it was a semi.
Put on a shirt. Put that on a freaking shirt too. It was a fun game besides the end.
That was it was not bad, but. Yeah, I wish we could pull it out.
But no. It was fun with us. It was fun for us watching it on TV screen.
Yes.
I know you sold your tickets to go to the game. You're a season ticket holder. Yeah. You sold your tickets. I turned down two different opportunities to go to the game. If I wasn't working today, I probably would have went.
Yeah, I worked till like 4:30, so.
Yeah, same. So it was like, do I really want to show up at like middle of the second quarter to watch eight starters that are usually starting play a game? Right. I mean,
that was my friend.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
So we talked enough about the offense. Offensive line played decent.
They played much better in
the second half. The whole offense can literally be described as they played okay in the first half. They played really good in the second half.
I thought their pass protection was really good though. Like, because the thing coming in this week was Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue or I think I pronounced it correctly. On their edge. I can actually spell it more than say it.
No way. Okay, Brody with Jeremiah Owusu-Koloa.
Ngakoue, I think it is. You can spell all those spell checkers out there. You can check me on that. But that was the biggest threat really of that defense, and they really was Hanson, and I thought. Just moving Joel Batonio over to left tackle was brilliant. I thought it was the perfect move because it allowed Batonio, who was probably the best tackle that was on the team that was healthy, and it allowed Dunn to go into guard, which he's well versed and he's probably one of the better backup guards in the league. So that was a smart move, and I think it worked because. Did you hear Max Crosby's name that often this today? I didn't, and so I thought it was a good move, and I thought they played well in the pass protection, and as we said, the run game kind of got going in the second half. But yeah, it was a smart move for them to do that, and maybe we'll see that the rest of the year. I don't know. I know Jed's coming back, but I don't know if they want to try to get Hans off the field. Because he's still kind of a hole.
He's definitely a liability.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I know we've injuries happen in the NFL. I guess this year and last year, COVID happens in the NFL. But the Browns were down 12 starters. 13 because Tack McKinley went down in the third quarter. Right? Third quarter? Fourth? I think it was third quarter. With what many people are believing is a torn Achilles, which absolutely stinks for him because he was on a one-year deal. So if it's a torn Achilles, he's likely not signing really well with the team.
This year too.
Yeah. Playing really well. One-year prove-it deal. And if he tore his Achilles, he's likely doing a 12-month recovery, and no one's going to sign him next year. He literally – I know we talked about this prior to the podcast. He literally saw millions of dollars go down the drain tonight.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, I know business is business, but, man, you got to feel for the guy. I think that's why he was – obviously, he probably didn't go to the straight millions of dollars down the drain immediately. Right. But that you know that crossed his mind when he was thrown off the field.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just it's rough, and you can we don't know it's an ACL yet, but you can tell by his face.
Achilles, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, Achilles. Sorry. Yeah, you can tell it's something serious. So it just rough because he was playing into a contract extension or a long term extension here. He was playing really well, but yeah, now we don't really have a backup, a reliable backup at least. So hopefully Jadeveon can get back. I don't know if he can for next week because he's one of the only guys I think actually had symptoms, right? I believe. So he might and he was one of the last guys to go on the list. So
and you have to remember that next week we're saying next week, but it's literally it's
Saturday.
It's 5 days.
So this week.
So it's less than 5 days to be exact, because the game starts at 4:30 on Christmas Day on the Saturday. So I mean,
so yeah, you're that tired defense. Oh yeah, you have to go back out there.
You have to go back out there against Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
Miles Garrett, I know you're
do you know who can go earn himself a big time payday next week?
Who's that?
Which one?
I think
one, I want him to come back no matter what happens next week. Two, he has been playing superb when he's not hurt. And three, I'm talking about Denzel Ward. Denzel Ward, I'm assuming, is going to be shadowing Davante Adams next week as long as he's out wide.
I would assume so.
The number one receiver in the NFL. Going against arguably one of the a top two quarterback in the NFL, Rodgers and Tom Brady, right? Oh, my bad, Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And actually, top five, Nick Mullins.
Obviously.
No, but seriously.
Case Keenum.
So, oh my gosh, don't even start. I like how we just said we just said two of the Browns' three quarterbacks and didn't include Baker Mayfield in that joke.
Who's the only one above 500? That's all I have to say.
Is it Case Keenum? Is
he
1-0?
He's 1-0, man.
Damn.
He beat the Broncos.
No, but Denzel Ward, if you go out there and have a big game next week, that is huge. I mean, obviously, we're not just talking – I know now you think I'm just talking about contracts, but – go out there and try to lock down Davante Adams. I mean, no one's been able to do it basically this year. So,
yeah, it's going to be an awesome matchup to watch.
Yeah,
because he is Davante Adams is probably the best receiver in the league right now.
He's just by far. I would take him over anyone else.
He's just on he's on another level. His route running and just he's a tough matchup. So it's going to be interesting because they're kind of similar like styles almost because they're both really good. Like out of their breaks and stuff, so it'll be interesting to see how Denzel matches up with him. So we'll see, and hopefully we can get back most of our secondary because we'll need it against Aaron Rodgers. So pray on your lucky stars.
Right when you just said that, I just thought of Rodgers discount double check.
Sorry.
All right, but back to this game. Back to
Browns quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, you're not only hating on Baker, but now you're saying that too. Man,
throwing fire.
Baker is literally under the bus right now. You just threw him under the bus like five times. But back to this Raiders game. Defense played really well. They were clearly on that last drive. The defensive line was clearly gassed. They were not getting good at the quarterback, but they literally had no backups all game. So they were fresh in the first quarter, and as the quarters went on, they got more and more and more and more tired. I mean,
right.
It is what it is. It's one of those things, like we said, the scheme is, it is what it is.
Right. Yeah.
When you're without 13 starters,
yeah,
and bench guys, depth pieces. Yeah. I mean, put it this way, the Browns usually put 7 guys on your inactive list prior to the game. The Browns put 4 guys on their inactive list prior to the game. That shows you how depleted they were.
My God, I didn't even notice that.
I'm pretty sure they put 4 guys on their inactive list.
And those,
because the rest of them were just out due to COVID or injuries.
And those were guys who were actually injured.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
I mean, it is like we say, it is what it is. I mean, tonight this win could have been awesome, not only for the playoff chances, but just, I mean, the crowd. There were a lot of empty seats there, at least early in the game, but the crowd was loud tonight.
It was, yeah. You could tell. By the way, I could live with this 5 o'clock time. I'm digging this 5 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock, dude, and we're
yeah. It was weird.
It was weird. It was like pitch dark. Really it was pitch dark, and it was like 7:30. I was like, "What is happening?" But yeah, it's it was. I thought the crowd was great, and they kind of helped that defense get through it. And man, I just wish they could have pulled it out. But
before we move on, we have to talk about one, holding penalties, and two, defensive pass interference in the NFL has turned into the second worst penalty in sports behind targeting in college football.
Yeah.
It has literally become, especially in the NFL, because it's a spot foul. Mm-hmm. It has literally become, if you have nothing, underthrow a deep ball, have your receiver come back to the ball, and hope that the corner doesn't look back. Yeah. And if he does look back, and if your receiver literally interferes with the defender, it'll still be defensive pass interference.
Right.
Third and long, Derek Carr is just running around. Basically, I think he was in the end zone too, by the way.
Yeah, and he's about to get drilled. Yeah,
so he was about to get sacked, and he literally just throws it up, underthrows it. The receiver, I don't even know what receiver it was, or the cornerback, but the cornerback was making a play for the ball. The receiver, you would have thought that the cornerback was the receiver and the receiver was the cornerback the way that they were playing. Right. And the Browns are called for defense pass interference. It's a 50-yard penalty first down.
Yeah. And that was, and I think you said it in the Discord. It wasn't, obviously they came back and were able to stop it, but the field position flipped, 50 yards, 40 yards or something?
That is exactly what I said. The Raiders did not score that drive. But that literally completely flips the field. So that flips, instead of the Raiders punting from their own end zone, they were now punting on the 45-yard line.
Yeah, and for the offense that was struggling in that first half, that would have been huge if they could have got it. But
it not only flips the field, but it changes momentum. It just is stupid. One, it wasn't defensive pass interference. If anything, it was offensive. And two, pass interference cannot be a spot foul anymore. It just can't.
Yeah.
It should be in the NFL is the only football league where it's a spot foul. Everywhere else it's 15 yards.
Yeah, I was always in favor of spot foul, but the way they're calling defense pass interference, they need to go to the 15 yards. It's just a lot of the calls that, like, the penalty yardage and automatic first downs are kind of ridiculous. Like, illegal contact downfield, holding is automatic first down. Like,
can we just discuss how defensive pass interference used to be so bad that they went to, you can challenge it and show it on replay.
Yeah.
And then it was proven that the refs literally wouldn't overturn it. So they got rid of the challenge last year or going into this year. And now it's become even worse than it ever was.
Yep. The refs were like, we're not fixing
the
this.
The ref said,
we're going to make it work.
Jokes on you guys.
Oh, you think we're bad at it? Well, watch us do it again. Watch us now.
I know there's not like a research or study out there. I wish like PFF would do it or something, but I'd love to know how many first downs were made from third down or underthrows that were the quarterback literally just throws it deep, underthrows it, and hopes for a DPI.
Yep.
And speaking of DPIs, another penalty, as Ed Hodler put out. How many times is Myles Garrett going to get held and then not call it? Even on the play where he got hurt, which is another issue, Myles Garrett. So on that final drive, he literally played hurt because they had no one else. They literally had no one else. They had to put Myles out there.
The problem is he's just so big. He doesn't fall down. Like a lot of guys, like you saw it on that final drive, the guy fell down and got, like, that wasn't really a holding. He kind of fell down and slipped.
It's like the LeBron James effect.
Right. It would have turned into a holding because of how he was holding him around the neck, but he didn't, like, that's the problem with Miles. He doesn't, like, it doesn't faze him. He'll still, like, push through that crack. And it's the same, yeah, it's the LeBron effect. He's so big, the LeBron and Shaq effect. It's just, he's so big and so strong that, like, it doesn't look like it's affecting him, but it is, and it's still illegal, but they still don't call it. So
I don't know. We're not just like, we're not just being like crybabies. I'll even admit it. The same thing happens to TJ Watt for the Steelers. And my buddy's a Steelers fan, and he says, dude, Myles Garrett and TJ Watt literally get held on almost every play, and it never gets called. It's just like, I don't know if it's they're so big.
It's also happens so to strong. Aaron Donald, if you want to watch Aaron Donald too.
Yeah, but it, I guess it's a lot easier to see a hold on the outside rather than a defensive tackle. But it's just crazy how, like, the three – okay, so even include Aaron Donald in it. So three of the best defensive linemen in the NFL get held more than 50% of the time, and it gets called 10% of the time.
Oh, yeah. Holding – like, defense pass interference is bad, but holding is really bad too. They're very, like, you could call holding on every play. Sometimes, like,
we're about to get fined for the NFL because we just going after the officials. if only our 400 views on per podcast and 400 downloads per podcast would reach the NFL officials.
Hey, you don't know. Maybe they watch this, man. Who knows?
Yeah, I would say maybe we'll get a weird tips email again from Chris Paul's mom, but no one really understand that inside joke.
If you guys won't know this, but it's really funny if you want to ask.
Just know that we have a tips at waitingfornextyear.com email where, like, if someone sends an email to tips, then, like, a lot of us get it. It just gets, like, emailed to a lot of us, and we got a spam email telling us that Chris Paul's mom told us to get the booster shot. We were like, what the hell? I guess it was like a you had to be there moment, but it was one of those things where someone said, like, don't mind the email, and then I read it and I was like, why is Chris Paul's mom telling me to get the booster shot?
I already know I need the booster shot.
Where's exactly.
Get your booster shot.
All right. Damn it. Now this is turning, someone's gonna say this is turning into politics.
Okay, back to the Browns.
Next to the Browns. So we talked offense, we talked special teams, unfortunately. Defense, holding, defense pass interference. Oh, I guess now we have to talk about the playoff outlook, because the Browns literally, with one field goal, went from tied for first in the AFC North to last. Sole possession of last place in the AFC North. Ooh. One, how bad is the AFC? Remember when at the beginning of the season when we said that the AFC North might be the best division in football?
We were touting that division.
They are literally, they might be the worst division of football.
I think Dallas is, but Dallas is better, probably the best team if they put them in there in our division. But yeah. Did you just see that?
I had to bring this up. Joe Gilbert, Joe's dad. Thanks, Chris Paul's mom, with that emoji. Oh, that's good.
Oh my god.
Chris Paul's mom coming in clutch. Bad days
before Christmas. We do thank Chris Paul's mom. We do.
I did. I actually thanked her in our Discord channel.
We did.
That was my I think I said thank you, Mrs. Paul.
Okay, but yeah, what were we talking about? Oh, the playoffs.
Oh, the division. Yeah. How bad the AFC North is.
Yes. So, yeah, it's looking like just looking at the teams now, it looks like the best team is the Bengals. Which, who the hell thought that was going to happen? Who the hell was going to think that before the season? But yeah, Baltimore just is ravaged by injuries. They're probably the best team if they were healthy, but they are not. They're not even close. if we were ravaged with COVID today. Just imagine that every week, because that's what Baltimore is facing in their secondary every week. It's crazy, and so it just opened up those injuries have just opened up the division, and there's somehow the Browns are still in it. They're 7-7, and
I was really, really hoping, since you've been hating on Baker. You've been hating on Baker all podcast. I was really, really hoping that you would say something while talking about the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, you mean Lamar? Oh.
No, Tyler Huntley.
I got you. He's an exclusive free agent, so we can't
get 216-578.
Call now.
Yeah.
Oh, I will not start that rumor. I'm just going to start Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson to the Browns. Okay. That's fine.
Wouldn't all three of them be an upgrade?
Two of those, I will say for sure.
Yeah, no, we're not even getting into that. That is Tyler Huntley is
he played it? Yeah, he played.
He's a system. He's a system quarterback. He would not work in the Brown system.
Yeah,
he's a system quarterback. He is literally he's a poor man's Lamar Jackson, which is exactly what you want as Lamar Jackson's backup.
Oh yeah. That's another reason why Baltimore is really good. That was just a smart move, just putting the same type of guy in as their backup, so they didn't have to change their offense. How many teams would have had some stiff white guy? No offense, some stiff white guy that couldn't move in the backfield, and then they would have to change the whole offense. So, smart move by them. Sorry, all those stiff white guys out there. I'm part of the stiff white guys.
I took offense. All right, so yeah, the AFC North. Somehow the Browns, very slim now, because they could have been 8-6, right? They could have been 8-6.
Yeah.
So they could have been 8-6 with a win tonight.
And in first
tied for first place with the Bengals and the Ravens, with the Steelers at 7-6-1, a half game back. Now they're a game back. And then last place in the AFC North. Yes, they can still win the division. There's still a little bit of hope. The percentages are probably not that good. They're probably less than 20%, I guess.
It changes next week, though. If they somehow get W in Green Bay, it changes the whole complexion, because we needed 3-1. It was pretty much the best case scenario of getting a W, and that's still a possibility.
Want me to bring up the worst case scenario?
Is it a big problem? Well, what, lose out?
No. As a fan, no. So the Browns are 7-7, a game back, but they play the Packers on Saturday, Steelers Monday night after New Year's, and then home against the Bengals. If they win all three, and they get some help from, I don't know, I know someone tweeted out the remaining schedules of the division teams. But they not only have to go 3-0, I think 2-1 they could still possibly make it, but that's even tougher road. They need help either way. They need help. They need some help.
Yeah.
My worst case scenario, besides going 0-3,
is Pittsburgh
beating the Packers next week, getting our hopes up, and Big Ben in his final home game on national TV. Does what he's done all his career, which is dominate the Browns. And that's where the Browns' playoff hopes are, down the drain. Best case scenario, Browns beat the Packers. They go into Pittsburgh with Monday Night Football on national TV. Ruin Ben's we call it senior night, but instead of high school, it's senior citizen night. That's to be it. Senior citizen night in Heinz Field. If the Browns win next week, that's what I'm calling it, by the way. Senior Citizen Night in Heinz Field. And it's where Big Ben walks out with his parents to midfield.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Senior Citizen Night. Oh, man, that is a great one for me. I can't wait to use that.
Pittsburgh. Browns. If you're listening, by the way, Pittsburgh, I think you should assign him next year. I think you still got something in there.
Hey, he's actually been playing. He's had some dumb plays. I know on yesterday he had a really dumb play where he threw it like this and didn't even get to the guy. But he hasn't been bad. He's been okay. He's been average.
Yeah. Bring him back, guys. Do it.
You know that's not going to happen. Although, let's be honest, though, who else do they have? Mason Rudolph? Dwayne Haskins, but we all know where that's going, too. As an Ohio State fan, I wish him very well. But when your potential second-best quarterback is getting his helmet taken off by Myles Garrett, it's probably not a good sign. No. But, yeah, all right, back to the Browns. There's still hope.
Yeah.
I know. We're Cleveland fans. We never have hope.
Big week next week.
Yeah. Next week. I think if they lose next week, they're basically done. Yes, there's still a slim chance, but like, they're basically done.
I think every single game would have to go perfectly for them for it to happen. So, yeah, they got to – it pretty much got to win out here.
Let's talk about next week. Do you want really bad weather in Lambeau, or do you want good weather? I'm leaning toward bad weather because playing with a broken toe, we already know Aaron Rodgers doesn't practice anymore. He literally only plays on game days because his toe's that bad. In frigid, cold, snowy weather, I feel like that toe, although then they can make it go numb, though, which is what you want.
I don't know
what you want.
I really don't think it matters because he's just so good. He can throw in any condition.
I'm just thinking about his toe. This is a toe experiment.
I don't know. I would think cold would not be helpful, but who knows?
But then it could numb it, though, which you'd want it to be numb. That's the thing. I don't know. True. We need like a happy medium.
And your whole foot is numb, so that doesn't help.
I can like your big toe. You don't think about how important your big toes are.
Oh, I know.
But that's like your entire balance. Imagine having a broken big toe that like just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That has to hurt so bad.
Gotta hurt so bad. Yeah.
And it is so broken where it doesn't just need time to heal. It literally needs surgery. But if he gets surgery, he has to sit out. So he's not getting surgery until after the season. Wow. I can only imagine how bad that hurts during the game.
Yeah,
his pain tolerance.
Whew. Yeah. By the way, we're now at 15% making the playoffs. So
you're telling me there's a chance.
Let's see if Green
is it really 15? Only 15? Oh,
if we win in Green Bay, it goes up to 35.
All right, do the next one. Do it.
Pittsburgh. If we win at Pittsburgh,
50.
60%.
Oh, all right. Now go the other way. Go lose at Green Bay.
Oh God,
it's got to be like 5%.
No, wait, 9% according to 538.
It only goes down 6% with the loss.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next week, I mean Christmas Day. Man, Christmas Day, the Browns somehow find a way to win.
All you kids out there, hope for no presents, but a Browns win. That's your present.
When you talk to Santa.
Talk to Santa.
Just ask him for a Browns win. W. That's Do it for us. Do it for us older folks that just need it.
We just need it, damn it. Give us hope.
Hope.
I really don't want to start talking off season, so please, I beg of you.
If the Browns win, especially because I'm actually celebrating Christmas with my mom's side of the family. We're celebrating on New Year's weekend, so I'm just hanging out at home next Saturday. If the Browns win, maybe I'll hop on the podcast and just be like,
and maybe I will too. Who knows?
It'll just be like a dance. I don't know how to dance, but it'll just be like a dance party.
You can see my whole family. We could have the whole Gilbert and Mark Ward family.
I want Joe Gilbert Sr. on, especially with the jokes.
I know, right?
Thanks, Chris Paul's mom. My favorite, though, is that he used this emoji, because I use that emoji all the time. That's literally my favorite part of that.
Yes, it is.
For those of you listening later on, if you're listening to us live, you can comment, and we see all the comments, and I can future some. And yeah, that one was so good. All right, so we talked Browns Raiders 16-14. The Browns had it won. All they needed was one first down. And then the Raiders, what was it, like 4 minutes left when we gave the Raiders the ball back? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Well, no, maybe under after 4 minutes. It was 2 minutes. And
then The final drive
was literally 2 minutes left.
Final drive was, I think it was a minute 50.
Yeah, and the Raiders drove like 50 yards and then kicked a 48-yard field goal. And not only they made it, but the Browns called a timeout. And that's another thing. The Browns had 3 timeouts. Yes, we can Monday morning quarterback it again. Do you use all 3 timeouts, Tyson? Do you make him kick 4 times?
I forget if there's a rule now that you can't do that. I can't remember. I swear there's something that happened in the past and they disallowed
you. It was definitely something that Bill Belichick did. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, something like that. Yeah, I swear I don't think you can do it.
I didn't think so either.
I think it would have been worse if we called 3 timeouts and he made all 4.
What if he missed like 2 and 3 and then made 1 and 4?
That would have been, if you want to like true misery, that would have been just true misery right there. Luckily, he made the first one, so it didn't like, oh shit, why didn't we do that?
And then the second one was right down the middle.
Right down the middle. He got that win very perfectly on that one.
Yeah, he did. Like, yes, he did. So
I guess I have to move it over a little bit here.
Yeah, I so wanted it because, like, usually it's like, oh, that's so Browns. It would have been so awesome if he made the first one, the Browns iced him, and then it literally the ice worked and he missed the second one. Oh, that would have been so perfect.
That would have been great.
But it's Cleveland. You can never have anything nice, right? Is that the same?
Yeah. But hey, we'll have a Christmas victory.
Against the future, wow! The Aaron Rodgers helping out his future team—that's crazy.
Yeah, we're gonna win, and he's gonna look at his team and like, wow, I need to go to this team this offseason.
This will be like, folks. You heard it here first. Just like LeBron wants to be on the Cavs too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
We can talk about that at some later on point.
Yeah, he definitely.
No, that is horrible.
He definitely wants to leave LA.
Who wouldn't want to be on the Cavs right now, if we're being honest?
True.
We need a, do you know what? We need a podcast about the Cavs one of these times.
Probably Andre Drummond would want to be on the Cavs.
Do you know who else wouldn't? You named Andre Drummond. I'll give you Kyle Kuzma.
Kyle Kuzma. Yeah.
He talks shit about Cleveland all the time. Like, dude, what the heck?
What was Joe Kim Noah? He probably wouldn't want it.
True. He talks shit about Cleveland too.
Yeah.
All right, but back to the Browns before we get in trouble. Anything else? Any final thoughts besides the fact that
tonight was
fun. I know you said it. The second half was fun. I legitimately had fun for the first time in weeks watching a Browns game.
Yeah.
But then the Browns it.
They sort of
yes, I just used the Browns as a noun, as a proper noun, and as a verb back to back. Yep. The Browns Browns it.
Yeah, it sucks. It's now they got to be perfect the rest of the year, and this is a very tough schedule to be perfect against. Finish up. This was the game that they needed to take, and it just sucked that almost everything went against them in terms of COVID and injuries and all that. So yeah, I don't know, we'll see.
What stinks too, I know you brought up COVID and injuries, they're without 13 starters tonight when Zach McKinley went down. 13 of 22, think about that, 13 of 22 starters.
Yeah,
I think they win that game tonight if they have a full team, but then obviously then you have to say the Raiders would have a full team, so they would have
Darren Waller
and a couple other guys,
and you know the Browns defense versus tight ends
really good, right?
Would have been a nightmare. Would have been a nightmare.
But it just stinks that, like, I mean, you say it is what it is. Like I've said multiple times, it is what it is.
Yeah.
In the NFL, no one cares about your excuses. It's a 17-game regular season. You go out there and try to win all 17 games, no matter if it is your second stringers, third stringers, practice squatters. And tonight it was second stringers and practice squatters a lot on the field.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yep.
So the Browns lost 16-14 to the Raiders to drop 7-7. They went from potentially tied first place in the SU North to last sole possession of last place in the SU North.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's just like
it's literally one field goal.
This is like slightly better than, remember last year's NFC East, that battle, that shit show battle.
Where wasn't one of the years in the AFC East? Is that with the Cowboys and Eagles? Is that the AFC East?
Yeah.
When didn't the division winner finish under 500?
Yeah, it was last year, I think.
That was last year?
Yeah, I thought it was Washington.
Numerous years ago.
I think Washington won. I don't know. But
at 7-9.
Yeah. If only that division was this year. We would be in first place.
True. But 7-7. They still have a chance. Dumb and Dumber, Lloyd Christmas would be proud because they still have a chance.
Yep.
If you don't get that reference, please go watch Dumb and Dumber, by the way. One of the greatest movies of all time. Don't hate on it, please. I could literally quote so much from that movie. There was one summer back in like 2012 where I literally watched that movie like 5 times a week, me and my buddies. But back to the bounce. So 7-7, they still have a chance. Green Bay, Christmas Day, Saturday afternoon at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. Probably a must win if they want to make the playoffs. It's going to be tough. Hopefully they get some guys back. Denzel Ward, I know you said this, Denzel Ward versus Davante Adams. I'm very, very, very much looking forward to that matchup, especially with how Denzel has been playing lately. Although he gave up that touchdown tonight, but I think he was just oversized. It is what it is. But, yeah, tough one tonight. 16-14, game-winning field goal by the Raiders, even after an ice timeout.
I just did the playoff machine on NFL.
Oh, man.
On ESPN. If the Browns win the next two games and the games kind of fall out over, like, the Bengals beating the Ravens next week and then both teams losing, Browns are in first. If you look at their schedule, they actually, like, the Bengals play in week 16. They play the Ravens, so that's a tough matchup.
Someone plays the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, they yeah.
Steelers? Steelers play the Chiefs on Sunday night or Monday night next week.
The Bengals play the Chiefs in week 17, and then the Ravens play in that same week. They play the Rams, so it's not out of the realm.
But man, tonight a win tonight, I would have been feeling really good.
Yeah, and then
especially with the remaining schedules.
Yeah, the last week is then matchups between the two teams. So Browns, Bengals, and then Ravens, Steelers. So we may be in a position where we're Steelers fans in week 18.
Don't ever say that.
I know. I do have a Steelers fan in the family, so I might have to.
We don't talk about that person.
shout out to Tyler.
Tyler. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, Tyler.
Yeah.
All right. Back to it, though. 16-14, the Browns lost. Gut-wrenching loss. I think gut-wrenching would be a good way to explain it. I know I used that in the title of this.
Yeah.
I mean, the second half was fun. They looked good on both sides of the ball. It's just that the defense, I think, got worn out, and there's not much they could do on that final draft.
Make your freaking kicks.
Yeah, Chase McLaughlin, what the heck, dude? Just when we thought we didn't have a kicker problem, here we are again. The Browns browned us. For everyone that joined us live and commented, thank you. We appreciate it. Like I said, we are always live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube within 2 hours after the game. If it's a home game, Joe usually goes to it, so it's like hour or two. If it's an away game, within an hour. Join us. Watch us live. See our ugly mugs on the camera. We have faces for a radio for a reason.
And or podcast awesome for a reason.
Yeah, and Miles, get shout out. That's GB Art, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to GB Art. I have so much GB Art stuff. I'm not wearing GB Art right now, there.
You can usually see me in a GB Art shirt.
Same. I think I'm sponsored by GB Art, to be honest.
Hey, GB Art. We need a sponsor if you want one.
True. We do need a sponsor now that you say that. Maybe that's one thing we want to work on.
We will work for t-shirts. Don't you worry.
We are waiting for next year for a sponsorship. How about that?
There you go.
Boom.
And we don't even have to work for money. We can just do it for t-shirts. We're good.
That's true. That is store, very true.
Store credit. We'll take it.
True. And we can like flaunt them on here with like our 50K with our 50K viewers. And notice yep. I said K. I included that K in there.
Okay.
That's important. Yep. But yeah, if you join us live, thank you. We appreciate it always. If you're listening to us on Apple, Spotify, I mean, there's so many podcast networks that people listen to now. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're also on all those. We appreciate all the downloads, all the views, everything. Seriously. We'll be back with you most likely Sunday afternoon. It'll be within 24 hours after the game, we promise, win or lose. When it could be within hours after the game. We'll see. Be. Probably not, but
you
it could be.
See me, you could see a party behind me.
Depending. Yeah, depending. Sure. So, yeah, next week it most likely will not be right after the game, but it'll be within 24 hours sometime on Sunday. They play Saturday at 4:30 in Green Bay. For those of you that celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. Have a very safe and fun-filled Christmas. Christmas. I can't even talk. Fun-filled Christmas, hopefully, if you're spending it with your family.
Stay safe, everybody.
And for those Northeast Ohioans, unless you're living in the Snow Belt, enjoy a non-white Christmas, which I like it a lot. I like it.
I know. Me too.
But seriously, if you celebrate like Christmas, if you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your weekend, and we will be back with you. I will say hopefully on Saturday night because that means very good news, but most likely Sunday. Go Browns, always. Oh, Browns. And always go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.